Kevin Carr with Fat Guys at the Movies. Continue with the movie reviews. Let's talk about Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. Based on real events, two brothers take out a Craigslist ad to find dates for their sister's destination wedding and end up going with two girls who are wilder than they are.
One, two, three, get loose now.
Mom and Dad, what's going on here?
Over the years at our family gathering, you two show up and you ruin it. I want you to bring a date to your sister's wedding. We don't want you showing up stag and riling each other up.
We don't rile each other up.
We never get riled up.
I'm here with Mike and Dave Stengel. They are looking for dates for their sister's wedding in Hawaii.
Let's make these guys take us to Hawaii.
We're looking for nice girls.
We're going to look respectable as...
Well, we'll just stop that trailer right there. You know, a part of the thing that makes this movie work are the actors. And it's not just Zac Efron and Adam Devine. I mean, Zac Efron, he's a charming enough guy, but he's not anybody that obviously I think has been proved with like Neighbors 2 and We Are Your Friends and Dirty Grandpa. No one's clamoring and knocking people over to go see Zac Efron in movies. He's had quite a few bombs on his hands. But he's still a likable enough guy on screen. And Adam Devine has a certain fan base. I likened him, a friend of mine, we were talking about him, and I said he's sort of like Patton Oswalt. There are people that are huge, I mean, crazy Patton Oswalt fans. I know some of them. In fact, the guy I was talking to is a huge Patton Oswalt fan, and he's like the funniest guy on the planet. And then there's people who know who Patton Oswalt is and just think he's kind of funny. But there's a huge amount of people out there who don't know who Patton Oswalt is. And if you happen to know who Patton Oswalt is, chances are you are a pretty big fan of his. That's kind of the way Adam Devine is. He is a comedian, and he's been on a bunch of shows, most well-known for being on Modern Family right now, because that's probably the biggest show he's ever been on. He plays the guy who's having a relationship with Haley. But he's been in, like, Workaholics, and he's been in a ton of other films. He was in the Pitch Perfect movies. But I think he is kind of that fan-based comedian. Like, Patton Oswalt isn't going to be a big movie star, and I don't know whether Adam Devine is either, and part of that's just his looks, part of that's kind of the characters he plays, but he can always be the wacky neighbor. But I think they're both good. Both him and Zac Efron, they have a really good chemistry together, but the real glue that holds this thing together is Aubrey Plaza and Anna Kendrick. They're very funny, and they're both good actresses. In fact, when I first saw that Anna Kendrick was in this movie, I thought she was kind of slumming it a bit. This does not seem like the kind of role she would normally play. She seems better than that. And that's not to be insulting to the film, but that's sort of the sense I got from it. But her and Aubrey Plaza do a great job. In fact, Kendrick does a great job just letting Aubrey Plaza be the wild card. It's somewhat of a generous role to do. They're not fighting for the spotlight, so to speak. And it is their sense of humor and their presence on screen that actually makes the film worth watching, all four of them together. But really, it's the girls that are the glue that holds this thing together. They're both extremely funny. I love Aubrey Plaza, but one thing that does bother me, and this is going to sound, I'm going to be lumped in with the lecherous writings about Margot Robbie, is she's just getting too skinny. It looks like you're listening too much to the press and to Hollywood, and you do the best. Being as funny as you are, it doesn't matter how small your waist is in a bikini. In fact, you could stand to gain a few pounds. But the one thing I find interesting about this movie, it's funny. It is a funny movie. It's not Wedding Crashers funny. Wedding Crashers is sort of like the gold standard of crazy wedding movies. I think this is a movie that'll be forgotten in a couple months. I mean, it'll still be one of those that you might swerve into on cable, but I don't think it's going to be like a famous movie that lives on in people's memory. And it's based on a true story. These guys really did take out an ad to go to, I think it was their cousin's wedding, but or their niece's wedding. But, you know, obviously it's been hyped up a lot for Hollywood. The thing I find interesting is there's this sort of, you saw this in Neighbors 2, this weird anti-misogyny thing going on. And my thing I didn't like about Neighbors 2 is they were like, no, it's okay for girls to have massive anonymous sex and take painkillers and massive drugs and drink until they pass out. Isn't that awesome? Equality, woohoo! And I'm like, no, that's kind of sleazy behavior no matter who you are. It doesn't matter what genitalia you've got on your body. And in this one, they take a lot of these situations that you might have seen in a comedy in the 80s, had it been made in the 80s, and they role reverse it with the sexual roles. Like, for example, the bride in the movie has a, let's say, it's not a fling. She delicately put, she kind of gets a pseudo happy ending at a spa treatment. And it's really glossed over eventually in the movie. And I'm like, you know what? If that was a guy, if the groom had done that, that would not have washed into the next scene as being, oh, it's okay. And there's another scene in there where like one of the characters, the brothers, they have a lesbian cousin. So she's out there hitting on everybody. I guess I think in the movie she's bisexual. So she's hitting on literally everybody, man or woman. And she gets a little bit of action from Aubrey Plaza's character. And her the whole reasoning for it was to get backstage passes to Rihanna. And again, it's just sort of brushed away. And I'm like, oh, that's fine. You know, it seems somewhat innocuous. But I'm like, what would have happened if you would have role reversed that? At this point in their relationship, if that was a guy doing it to a girl, or if it was the guy and she was Aubrey Plaza's character was doing something to the guy, it would be a little different. And I find that interesting that there is that standard out there, this new sort of neo-feminism of we're equal, but we still want to be treated different. And I'm all for equality. I want equality in treatment. And if it doesn't work by reversing the roles, then it still doesn't work and there's not equality. And just because it cuts in your favor doesn't mean that you get a cheer, rah-rah, isn't this great? You're still working in an unlevel playing field, and you should be for equality and not for inequality that just benefits you. I don't think there was that much depth of thought put into this movie, though, so let's just skip that. Anyways, I have to say that in the end, Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk about Cell. Based on Stephen King's bestseller, John Cusack stars as a man trying to survive in a world when a mysterious signal over cell phones turned people into violent crazies.
Hi, Dad.
Hey, buddy.
Are you coming home?
Yeah. Soon.
Okay.
It's terrorists, right? It's gotta be terrorists.
Don't use your cell phone.
If we're gonna survive, people are gonna die.
They may be the next stage in human evolution. What's happening now is more than temporary anarchy. It's a start of a war.
This is, I think, the last Stephen King book I read. It's sad to say, but once Stephen King stopped drinking, his books became uninteresting to me. Because when he finally came out and said that he had stopped drinking, and I remember reading about it years later and saying, oh yeah, that's when his books kind of started to suck. So his best stuff he did when he was an alcoholic. And that's great that he got his stuff together. But this was done in 2006. He was more on the sober wagon at that point. But I thought it was still a decent book. It was one of his last really good ones that I had any interest in reading. Originally, Eli Roth was going to do it. And I didn't know if he would do a good job. It's possible he wouldn't have, because the guy can't make a coherent movie. He just does scenes. So it's kind of interesting to see this movie. Now, it's out on demand, but it's got a theatrical run this week. And I'm sad to report it's not very good. And it's kind of sad because it's got John Cusack and Samuel L. Jackson in it. And they both were in 1408, which was one of his movies. It was actually really pretty good. It's one of the last good Stephen King movie that came out. I'm not talking TV. I'm talking about the movies themselves based on his original books. You had that 2007, 2008 when 1408 and The Mist came out. And then after that, there really hasn't been anything that's really garnered any attention. A lot of his stuff's going direct to video or nowhere. He did A Good Marriage a couple years ago, and I thought it was kind of an okay movie, but it's sort of sad. I mean, I remember back when a Stephen King movie was an event, and now it's just a choice on your on-demand roulette wheel. The problem with this one is it's way too low rent, and the directing's just shabby and boring, and the characters are kind of murky, and there's elements to the book that made it a little odd, but it kind of made it interesting. Those are all gone, and it's just a very straightforward movie that sort of hints at a couple things that were explored a little greater in the book. But other than that, it's not very good at all. And it's just sad and disappointing. That's kind of what it felt like watching this movie for me. So I'm going to have to say that Cell kind of sucks.
It kind of sucks.
Wait a second. I don't like the sound of that.
That's it for the segment. When I come back, I'm going to do a review of 0 Days, talk about the box office, and talk about the home cinema roundup.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America, working with home and design experts Aaron and Ben Napier. Wedding season is here. Weddings of all sizes call for smart budgeting. So as you plan the big day, keep this tip in mind.
Thoughtful lighting can create a magical wedding space and bring a whole new look to an area. To help couples stretch their wedding budget, look for lighting and decor options that you can use long after the big day. One popular trend in lighting is to string bulb lights throughout your space that are great for outdoor weddings. Many are weather and wind resistant, making them more reliable and safer than using candles. I find many of my favorite decor items like string lights at wholesale clubs. So when I'm shopping, I prefer to use my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card because I earn 2% cash back at wholesale clubs as well as grocery stores. I also earn 3% cash back on gas for the first $2,500 in combined grocery, wholesale club, and gas purchases each quarter, and 1% on all other purchases.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/getcashback.